Our Lord, our God, we thank you for the joy and delight that there is to meet with the people of God. We realise, O Lord, that we have many things in common. But most of all, O Lord, we have in common our glorious trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, for him, the Son of your love, the one who left the Holy of Holies in order to come into this world on the greatest rescue mission there has ever been. And, O Lord, our God, we thank you for those who he rescued and delivered and brought out of darkness into marvellous light, that we who were not a people have now been made the people of God. O Lord, our God, as we seek to worship you this day, we pray indeed, O Lord, that our worship will be in spirit and in truth. For Jesus' sake we ask it. Amen. Now let us turn in the word of God to the 111th Psalm. Praise the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart, in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. The works of the Lord are great, studied by all who have pleasure in them. His work is honourable and glorious, and his righteousness endures forever. He has made his wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. He has given food to those who fear him. He will ever be mindful of his covenant. He has declared to his people the power of his works in giving them the heritage of the nations. The work of his hands are verity and justice. All his precepts are sure. They stand fast forever and ever and are done in truth and uprightness. He has sent redemption to his people. He has commanded his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding of all those who do his commandments, his praise endures forever. So reads that precious portion of the word of God. Now let us all pray. Our Lord, our God, we thank you that you live in a far more glorious place than Buckingham Palace. We thank you indeed, O Lord, that you have your throne. And that throne is never vacated. We thank you, Lord, that your Son is there, seated on your right hand, equal with you, ever living to make intercession for us. We thank you, O Lord, that unlike our Queen, your eye is ever upon your people in this world. We thank you, Lord, that you dwell in eternity and that we dwell in time. And because you are in eternity, you can see all your people at all the time in every place that they are. We thank you, Lord, that your eye is upon us, not to catch us out, but your eye of concern is ever toward us as your believing people. And we thank you, O Lord, for that. We thank you for your dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, O Lord, that he did leave the wonder and glory of heaven, that he did leave behind the worship of the seraphim, that he did leave behind the angels. And, O Lord, our God, we thank you that when he came, he became poor, that we through his poverty might be rich. And we thank you, O Lord, that we are rich in him. We thank you indeed, O Lord, that we are not to lay up for ourselves treasure on earth, but we are to lay up for ourselves treasure in heaven. We pray indeed, O Lord, that you might help us as we live in this world to remember whose we are and whom we serve. We thank you indeed for your great love to us. What amazing love it was, a love that existed in eternity. We thank you indeed, O Lord, for that amazing, glorious love. And we thank you, O Lord, that you love us with the same quantity and quality of love with which you love your only Son. We realise, O Lord, that we are here because of your grace, because of your undeserved kindness toward us. We thank you indeed, O Lord, that you have changed enemies into friends. We thank you indeed, O Lord, that you have removed all enmity against you. And, O Lord, our God, we thank you that our hearts have been melted by amazing mercy. And, O Lord, our God, as we come to you this day, we pray for your good hand to be upon the meeting tonight. We pray, O Lord, for that baptizing service. We give you the glory for it. We thank you, O Lord, that another has been added to the worldwide Church of Jesus Christ. And we realize, O Lord, it's all of grace. And we do pray indeed, O Lord, for Steve as he's baptized, that you might be with him, that he might know your peace, that he might know your joy, that he might know your presence. And we pray, O Lord, that the whole of the meeting might bring glory and honour and praise to your great name, that we might all be able to say it was good to have been in the house of God tonight. O Lord, our God, we look to you. We thank you, Lord, for that craft day yesterday. And O Lord, our God, for the children that came along. And O Lord, our God, we know the great danger in this world is to build up treasures on earth. And we do pray indeed, O Lord, that good may have come out of all the work that went in. And we do pray, O Lord, that many may come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus. Do undertake, O Lord, for the open air meeting next Saturday. We commit that into your hands. We know it's often hard and difficult. But we do pray, O Lord, that in your great mercy, that there might be those who have been prepared by your Spirit to hear the living word of the living God. O Lord, hear us, we pray. We pray, O Lord, for this terrible situation with the refugees. O Lord, our God, we know that many are your children, and we commit this situation to you and pray that you might grant wisdom to the heads of all these countries, that they might truly know the right thing to do in this difficult situation. We are very mindful that your son was taken as a refugee down into Egypt. And, O Lord, our God, we do pray that you might show continual compassion to these needy people in these days. We know, Lord, that there's a problem with ISIS, this is the Islamic State, and some of them are parading as refugees and are members of ISIS. And, Lord, we need discernment. But, O Lord, our God, we need compassion too. And we do pray, Lord, that you might undertake for these matters. We thank you, O Lord, for your people here, and pray that you might draw near to them in these days. In Jesus' name, amen. Please turn in the word of God to that psalm that we read, Psalm 111. How do you and I avoid evil? If you're a child of God, if you're born again of the Spirit of God, you know only too well that there's much evil in this world and we need to avoid it. How do you and I forgive? We live in a world of sin. We receive great forgiveness from God. And often people will wrong us. But how do you and I forgive? How do you and I delight in what God has said? For truly we have an amazing book called the Bible. And we have some amazing truths recorded in the Word of God. And we long that we might delight in these amazing truths more and more. How do you and I motivate ourselves for Christian service? For it is a glorious privilege to be a servant of the Most High and Holy God, the one who has loved us with everlasting love. How do you and I receive a motivation to seek the lost? For all around us there are those without an interest in the God of the Bible. There are those who are blinded by the God of this world. And we need a motivation to seek the lost. How do you and I learn how to be instructed in the ways of God? For those of us who are born again of the Spirit and have been washed in the Redeemer's blood, long that we might walk in the way of God. Do you want the Lord to confide in you? Do you want the Lord to come and confide in you as a believer? Do you know the real problem with our nation at this time? I want to tell you the key to all these questions. The key to all these questions is the fear of the Lord. The key to it all is the fear of the Lord. In Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 6, we are told this: and by the fear of the Lord, one departs from evil. In Psalm 130, and verse 4, we are told, but there is forgiveness with you, that you may be feared. In Psalm 19 and verse 9, we are told this: very clearly. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. In Hebrews 11 and verse 7, we read that Noah was motivated by holy fear to build the ark. And in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 11, we are told that the fear of the Lord, the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. The fear of God. But what is it? Reverence for God? Respect for his word? Care of offending him? A desire that these things might lead us to do what is right? It is not a dread, it is not a terror, because it is linked with love and it springs from love. If you and I love the Lord, because we have been saved by amazing grace, we will ultimately fear him. Now the word fear here in Psalm 111 and verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, a good understanding of all those who do his commandments. His praise endures forever. The word fear here is a noun of the same origin as the word rendered awesome in the previous verse. How do you define the fear of the Lord? Well, I came across this excellent definition. A man called James Smith in the 19th century, who has done a number of daily Bible readings, says this: it is the fear of a tender child who would not in any way grieve a kind and loving parent. It is the fear of a tender child who would not in any way grieve a kind and loving parent. And it seems to me that he's very wisely put that all into a nutshell. And we need to be gripped by this. We have a kind and loving father. And because we have a kind and loving father, we don't want in any way to grieve him. We don't in any way to grieve this great and loving God. We don't want in any way to grieve the glorious person of the Lord Jesus, who loved us and gave himself for us. And it seems to me that this fear of the Lord is sadly missing today in our vocabulary. And yet it is crucially important, because we are told here in verse 10 of Psalm 111, it is the beginning of wisdom. It is the foundation of true wisdom. It is the origin of true wisdom. It is the commencement of being truly wise. Because there is no true wisdom that does not recognize the being and perfection and claims of the great God of heaven and earth. The highest wisdom and honor that men may know is to honor their Creator. To honor their Creator in all things. To know the real blessing of the Creator in the soul is ultimately to fear God. The fear of a tender child who would not in any way grieve a kind and loving parent. It is not austere, it is not dread, but it comes with a holy love for the great God of heaven and earth. And there are at least 160 or so references in the Bible to the fear of the Lord, or the fear of the Lord. And there are multitudes of blessings that come as a result of fearing God. In Psalm 31 and verse 19, we are told that God stores up his goodness and releases it to those who fear him. The comfort and joy come to the people of God who live in the fear of the Lord. And the fear of the Lord helps us to overcome the fear or dread of man and gives us a godly peace in our own souls. That here we are desiring to walk with the great God of heaven and the great God of earth. You see, the Christian knows that this fear is tempered with God's love and mercy. And as we are brought into a right relationship with God, there will be that holy fear. But at the same time, there will be that great privilege of being able to call this glorious God, Abba, Father. Christians were once described in our land as a God-fearing people. Imagine a little child. We've got little children here this morning, haven't we? And a child loves his father and has the highest regard, the highest respect for his father. But because he has the highest regard for his father, he knows at the same time, because of the father's love, he can relax in his presence. He doesn't have a formal relationship with dad. He enjoys being in his presence, but at the same time has a high regard for his father. And so it is with us. We enjoy being in the presence of our glorious Father in heaven, and we have the highest regard for him. And we are aware at the same time of his loving care of each one of us. There's nothing sadder than to see a child with no respect for their parents. Why do people sin? Well, Romans 3:18 tells us there is no fear of God before their eyes. And if there is the fear of God before your eyes and before mine, it is a restraint against sinning. The believer's eyes have been opened to the great God of heaven, to this amazing, glorious, almighty God, and have the privilege of sonship. What a privilege to be a member of the royal family in this country. But to be a member of the royal family of heaven, to be adopted into that family, to have the royal clothing of heaven, to have salvation in his Son, and to be able to say when we think of God, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be your name. The fear of the Lord is the consequences of salvation. You think of Psalm 130 and verse 4. But there is forgiveness with you. Why? That you may be feared. You think of that great hymn that we're going to sing tonight. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear. C.H. Spurgeon said this: none fear the Lord like those who have experienced his forgiving love. None fear the Lord like those who have experienced his forgiving love. Illustrations are so deficient in this subject, because we almost remember that the fear of the Lord is tempered with his grace and is tempered with his love for his dear people, for whom he sent his only begotten Son to save them. And the fear of the Lord in a Christian produces adoration, and it produces love, it produces joy, it produces delight. There's a book being written, The Joy of Fearing God. And I heartily recommend that book, and I haven't stolen this sermon from it either. Last Sunday morning in our own fellowship, we had our harvest, and I preached on the feeding of the 5,000. And if you'd have seen the feeding of the 5,000, would you have not stood there in awe? Who is this man? 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And he multiplies it all. He short circuits nature. The seed goes into the ground. The ground is watered and produces a harvest. But the Lord Jesus is able to short circuit nature, because he is the Lord of all creation. And if you and I had seen that happening, we would have been in awe. And then we see the way in which he loves, and the grace and his mercy. If you went to Romania when Ceausescu was around, as I did on a number of occasions, that awful tyrant, you would have seen the country gripped by fear, but it was servile fear. It was a terrible and an awful fear. And then you would have gone to the people of God, and you would have seen there were people who lived in filial fear. And that filial fear included love and respect and a willingness to serve their glorious and amazing God. Now we have an illustration of the two in the book of Exodus, after the giving of the Ten Commandments. And in verse 20 of Exodus 20, we read this. And Moses said to the people, "Do not fear. Do not be in dread. For God has come to test you, and that his fear may be before you, so that you may not sin." There's a contrast there between being afraid of God and fearing God. God had not come to make them afraid of him, but by drawing near, they might have a right filial fear of God. And this fear will keep the people from sinning. And surely, as believers, we need every tool to keep us from doing that, don't we? Every tool. What can we say by way of application? Well, by way of application, our daily labours are to be done in the fear of the Lord. It's a very practical subject, this, it seems to me. In Colossians 3 and verse 22, we are told this: "Bondservants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God." Fearing God. In Hebrews chapter 12, at the end of Hebrews chapter 12, we are told this: "Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire." It's not an option. It is that which flows naturally from God to the soul, that we have that childlike respect for the great God of heaven. It has a great effect on people. It has a great effect upon our worship. It will not cause the worship to be a dirge. There are many people who misinterpret the fear of God and make their worship an awful dirge. It's a solemn thing, worship. No, it's a humbly joyful thing. It will impact our worship. It will be simple, and it will be for God alone. And I love to hear the singing here at Belvedere. We will see God on his glorious throne. We will see him sitting upon the circle of the earth, but we will also see him as our great Father in heaven, and we will have the utmost respect for him. And all that we do will have an eye on the Lord. Now, I'm a great advocate of modern songs. I think you can argue it biblically and historically. For every generation, there has been a new song. You think of the song of Moses, the song of Deborah, the song of Mary, and you look down through history, and you see that every generation has new songs. And we're not to be an antique shop. But I have one problem with new songs. There's an absence of the fear of God in them. There's an absence of the fear of God in them. It seems to be almost absent. But look at our old hymn books, and it's constantly there. "Fear him, ye saints, and you will then have no one else to fear." You think of that Amazing Grace hymn written by John Newton. And for preachers, it is also a motivation. For a man who truly preaches in the fear of the Lord will seek to preach the whole counsel of God. He will seek to preach without fear nor favour of men and women, because he knows that he preaches in the presence of the God of heaven and earth, for which he must one day give an account. And he will preach with love, and he will preach with compassion, he will preach with zeal, he will preach with concern. It blesses the fellowship of God's people. Wonderful blessing on the fellowship of God's people. In the book of Malachi and 3 and verse 4 and verse 16, we are told this. Malachi 3:16. Then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord listened and heard them. So a book of remembrance was written before him for those who fear the Lord. It motivated them. And when we are truly walking in the fear of the Lord, there is fellowship with other believers. And there is a concern not to be unkind and ungracious. For we are doing all things before God. That means that we can enjoy each other's company. We can laugh in each other's company. We can delight in each other's company. But at the same time, we don't want anything to come in that would harm the fellowship. But then we think of the Lord Jesus, the perfect example of what it really is to fear the Lord. And we have that in Isaiah chapter 11 and in verses 2 and 3. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. His delight is in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge by the sight of his eyes, nor decide by the hearing of his ears. His delight is in the fear of the Lord. And if that was true of the Lord Jesus, it should be true of us. There should be a delight in it. Think of a little child. Dad takes him out one afternoon. And he loves the presence of his father. He highly regards his father. And it's a delightful thing. I remember when my son was young, we used to go fishing on a Saturday afternoon. Sometimes in severe winter conditions. What a foolish thing to do. But my son loved it. He loved being with his father. And he loved fishing. And you see, it seems to me that this is the right balance. It's not an austere thing. It's not a harsh thing. It's not a severe thing. It's a delightful thing. And it produces joy. And we remember that the heart of the Lord Jesus was full of reverence. It was full of awe. It was full of honor. It was full of adoration. It was full of obedience. And we look to him for the ultimate example. And the question for me and for you this morning is, do we delight in this? Do our hearts go out with adoration to Yahweh, the great God of heaven and the great God of earth? When we look at the perfect man, we see him there. There were times when he was full of joy. He knew what it was to have communion with his Father. And there is truly a joy in fearing God. Because everything was done under the shadow of the Father. All the rich blessings that come to the people of God as a result of fearing God. In Psalm 145 and verse 19, we are told he will fulfill the desires of those who fear him. He will also hear their cry and save them. He will fulfill their desires. Because their desires will be for the glory of God. And God has promised the blessings that come through fearing him. You remember at the end of the book of Ecclesiastes, we read these words toward the end, Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 18. Sorry, chapter 12. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is man's all. Fear God. It keeps us close to the Lord. When you don't feel like coming to a meeting, you fear the Lord, my friend. That will get you there. I love God. I delight in him. How often is it difficult sometimes after a long day's work to come to a prayer meeting? If I fear the Lord, if I honour God, if I reverence God, if I remember what God has done for me, it will motivate me. It's not rules and regulations. It's not a legalism. It's a delight. And oh, how we need to be kept from sin. Sin is our worst enemy within. And you and I know what it is, I'm sure, as believers, to know sin rising and to know the temptations of sin. But to keep us from sin, it will be the fear of the Lord. And also it will cause us to keep short accounts with God, so that when we are foolish and when we do fall into sin, we will keep short accounts with him and we will confess our sin and renounce sin. It will revolutionize the whole of our lives. And it makes us value his love, mercy and grace. Why, O Lord, such love to me? Why, O Lord, such amazing mercy? Why, O Lord, such amazing grace? Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. And we are a greatly favored people. The most greatly favored people. We're more favored than being a member of the royal family of the United Kingdom. We are adopted children of the living God. Isn't that amazing? And we come to a God who loves us. We come to a God that we can relax with. We come to a God that we can delight in. We come to a God whose name we revere. And who has done great things for us, whereof we are glad. And because we fear him, we are joyful in his presence. A child who respects his father knows what it is to be joyful in his presence. A child who respects his father knows what it is to delight and to be glad in the presence of the Father. And we must be very, very, very careful in all this. One of the blessings that came to the early church, because of the power and presence of the Lord God upon them, it was simply this. Acts 9 and verse 31. Then the churches throughout all Judea and Galilee, Samaria had peace and were edified. But it also says this. And walking in the fear of the Lord, and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, they were multiplied. Walking in the fear of the Lord, there's activity. But the fear of the Lord produces the comfort of the Holy Spirit. And the result was that they were multiplied. And oh, how we need to be a people in New Testament days, in gospel days, who walk in the fear of the Lord. It will revolutionize our Christian lives. How I need to walk in the fear of the Lord. How I need to have my life revolutionized. And that I might ever remember that I walk in the presence of the great God of heaven and earth. We're thankful for the gift of humor. We're thankful for liberty, Christian liberty, freedom one toward another. It's not austere. There's a joy in fearing God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding of all those who do his commandments, his praise endures forever. What a blessing it is to walk in the fear of the Lord. Let us pray. My Lord, our God, we thank you for the glorious fact that you are God alone. We thank you indeed, O Lord, that you have a Son who is holy. The seraphim in heaven cried, "Holy, holy, holy." We thank you that you are our Father. Thank you, Lord, that we have perfect freedom in coming to you. Thank you, Lord, you're not an austere God. Thank you that we have liberty and freedom. Thank you, O Lord, that we can come and rejoice and delight in and glory in who you are. Thank you, O Lord, that you come and meet with us in grace. Teach us more and more, O Lord, what it is to fear the Lord, so that our lives and our fellowships might be transformed, because we ask this for Jesus' sake. Amen. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, both now and ever. Amen.